Hello there, everyone, and welcome to another thrilling edition of The Update as we start a brand new week together. I'm Brandon Julian. We truly appreciate you spending some time with us here today. Quick check of the forecast. You know, it's going to be another bright day here in the city, but be on the lookout. The humidity. Oh, yes, the humidity is going to start climbing over the next couple of days. And some thunderstorms will be in the area by Thursday, but not today. Today is supposed to be a high of about 74, 75 degrees with lots of sunshine. Now, folks, we're going to talk about what's in the headlines on the update this Monday. There's an FDNY firefighter that almost died battling a fire in the Bronx. He was released from the hospital to a rousing round of applause from his fellow first responders. Well, the latest details. The teen shooter who fatally gunned down the 16-year-old peacemaker in Soho rode to the killing in a city bike basket and was identified in part by his distinctive Air Jordans, according to the court documents. It's the end of the road for the New York Knicks in the playoffs. Jalen Brunson, he carried them as far as he could until, just like so many of his teammates, he got injured. He broke his hand in the Knicks' 21-point loss to the Pacers in Game 7. Overseas, many people are wondering what's going to happen now as the Iranian hardliner president Ibrahim Raisi was killed after a helicopter carrying the rebelled leader, known as the Butcher of Tehran. It crashed in a remote region of the country, according to state media. And this is going to lead to some empty cups and some empty hearts. McDonald's customers are bidding a bitter farewell to free drink refills. It's one of the latest casualties from the brand already facing an identity crisis over their extreme prices. So whether you're at home or you're on the go, we have you covered with all that you need to know. Hey, that rhymes. This is The Update, Monday, May the 20th, 2024. Every city has a story, and in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is The Update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know. Because anything can happen in New York. You know, folks, we're right in the thick of things, getting ready, of course, for Memorial Day weekend. It's this week. Did you know that over the last 10 years or so, we only had two dry Memorial Day weekends in total? When we say dry, that means there hasn't been any rain on any of the three-day weekend. And this year is looking like it's not going to be the same case for this year. Actually, that's quite a bummer. Oh, well, I guess there's always next year, but the forecast could change, of course, between now and then. Our big story today, this Monday, is that the FDNY firefighter who almost died while battling a house fire in the Bronx was released from the hospital yesterday to a rousing round of applause from his fellow first responders. Kevin Pacelli, a father of two, walked out of Jacoby Medical Center under his own power just 2 days after he suffered respiratory arrest and was rushed to that hospital. Firefighters from the Bronx and Queens, they were on hand to greet the 38-year-old who shook hands with each of his fellow bravest during the touching moment, according to FDNY footage.
Pacelli reported having a difficult time breathing as he and others moved in on the intense flames inside a two-story house on Friday afternoon, according to officials at the time. He passed out from smoke inhalation before he got out of the house. Other first responders dragged him to the sidewalk, and two medics began administering a life-saving drug, hydroxobalamin, that reverses the effects of cyanide poisoning, according to the FDNY Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh. But Shelley called it a miracle drug outside of the hospital on yesterday. Now, folks, on to some of the other news of this Monday. And at least one man near the George Washington Bridge was spotted scaling said structure on Saturday afternoon, causing traffic delays as the NYPD attempted to corral the climber. Police called for airbags and could be seen on the south side of the tower on the Manhattan side as they tried to get the person. The incident unfolded just before noon and caused at least 90 minutes worth of delays due to the police activity. This is according to the Port Authority. They wrote on X, formerly known, of course, as Twitter. There were initial reports as many as three people climbing the bridge, according to an FDNY spokesperson, but the NYPD would not confirm or deny whether this climber was a protester or an emotionally disturbed person. A spokesman said on Saturday afternoon, saying, quote, "There's no flags, no banners, no statements in connection to any protests." They noted that the authorities will have more information once the climber is actually in custody. About 3.5 hours after the incident began, one person who had been had been scaling the span surrendered without incident. Meanwhile, the teenage shooter that fatally gunned down that 16-year-old peacemaker during a fight near a school in Soho rode to the killing in a city bike basket and was identified in part by his distinctive Air Jordans, according to the court documents. Henry Thomas was arraigned on a second-degree murder charge in Manhattan Criminal Court Saturday for the May 7th murder of Makai Brown, who was killed, of course, a half block from the charter school that he attended. The 19-year-old gunman was captured on camera wearing, quote, "distinctive black Air Jordans with red and yellow trim," and getting into the city bike basket before the shooting, according to the criminal complaint against him. When the bike arrived in Urban Plaza between Spring and Dominic Streets, about a block from Brown's school, the shooter, quote, "stepped out of the basket and fired a handgun three times," according to authorities saying in the complaint. Brown was shot once in the back of the head and twice in the leg. In other news, near the Brooklyn Bridge, a man miraculously survived a 120-foot jump off of said bridge on Saturday, according to police and other sources. The 24-year-old splashed down in the East River at around 1:30 in the afternoon. He was still conscious when an NYPD harbor unit in the area managed to pull him out of the water, according to the police. He was brought to Pier 16 in Manhattan and taken by EMS to Bellevue Hospital in stable condition, according to the cops. Photos from that scene show the man being taken away in a stretcher with a brace around his neck. Police do say, though, that the investigation, it is ongoing. And finally, that portal that connects, of course, New York and Dublin, Ireland, is back in service. It reopened yesterday with some new measures that are meant to deter the deviant and disturbing behavior that forced it to temporarily shut down. Organizers flipped the switch back on at 9 a.m., nearly 5 days after the attraction went dark over the antics from both sides of the pond.
But instead of the art exhibit offering a 24/7 connection between the cities, as was before, it will now only be live between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. Guardrails were also added around the portal, which opened earlier this month, to help prevent a repeat of past offensive acts. Both screens will now be blurred if a visitor steps on the portal and obstructs the camera, which organizers call, quote, a proximity-based solution. On our side of the sculpture, it will continue to have on-site security during the hours of operation, with more fencing and signage also in place. The Dublin side will also have physical design features to deal with the crowd management, according to the organizers. Time for us folks to step aside momentarily, but there's still a lot more to come on the update this Monday. We have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and how Jalen Brunson carried the Knicks into the Eastern Conference semifinals as much as he could, but he got bit by the injury bug, and just like everybody else, they just could not overcome it as the Knicks fell to the Pacers in the single-handedly, the greatest shooting performance in a Game 7 in the history of the NBA, and I mean the entire NBA. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk together, of course, too, the latest national news. Including the latest of what happened to the Iranian president. He was found dead in that crash, of course, in the helicopter. Known as the Butcher of Tehran, Ibrahim Razi, the Iranian president, his helicopter crashed in a remote region of the country, according to state media. Now everybody's wondering what's going to happen next. And at the end of the program today, the end of the broadcast, we're talking about some empty cups and some empty hearts. McDonald's customers, they're bidding a bitter farewell to the free refill drinks, one of the latest casualties from the brand that's already facing an identity crisis over the extreme prices. So on this Monday, where we are trying to find our way to the end of the week and Memorial Day weekend, we're going to talk about all this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. From New York, a tropical island paradise, this is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
I've always wanted a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
My neighbor?
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship in his neighborhood, hoping we would do the same. So let's get started. Friendship. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
As an educator, Mr. Nelson's teachings are still being quoted in schools.
Education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
Mr. Nelson taught hope.
Everyone can rise above their circumstances if they are dedicated and passionate.
And giving our best efforts.
It's always impossible until it's done.
Mr. Nelson Mandela's teachings not only united a nation, they inspire us today. Inspiration. Pass it on from PassItOn.com.
Brandon Julian. You know, folks, I don't know about you, but this kind of feels like a bit of a misdemeanor. You know, I think I might have just summoned something. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Beginning May 6th through the first half of 2025, Flushing-bound 7 trains are skipping 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, and 111th Street because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Manhattan-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip for possible inspection. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
There are two words in sports that we always love to hear right after the Mets win. I guess technically that's three words, but still. The two best words in all of sports are Game 7. And we had a Game 7 between the Knicks and the Pacers in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Knicks were trying to come off being trounced in Game 6 in Indiana. And Jalen Brunson, of course, he carried the Knicks as best as he could, and as far as he could. There was one slight thing he did have to overcome, though, and that was the greatest shooting performance in a Game 7 in the history of the NBA, and I mean the entire history. I forget how long the NBA's been around, but it's been a pretty long time. They shot 67% for the whole game. But anyway, getting back to Mr. Brunson, he broke his left hand in the second half of Game 7. It was a final injury for a Knicks team that was just decimated by then. Four key players, they were already unavailable by then, leaving the Knicks unable to slow down the Pacers team. That was the highest scoring team in the league, and one that was far deeper. The Pacers would go on to win the game 130-109. Brunson would say after the game, quote, "I'm proud of what we were able to do this year and the way we fought. Obviously, the outcome is not what we wanted." The Knicks got within one win of reaching the conference finals for the first time since 2000. Despite losing Julius Randle in January and their key reserves, Mitchell Robinson, Bojan Bogdanovic, later in the playoffs. OG Anunoby, he strained his left hamstring after he scored a career playoff-high 28 in Game 2. He missed the next four games before he returned to start yesterday, but he was clearly not feeling 100%, and he was limited to just 5 minutes before he was taken out of the game for good. Anunoby later said, quote, "I was trying. I couldn't really sprint. I couldn't really jump, but I wanted to try my best." Looks like the best for the Knicks just wasn't good enough, and it's wait till next year. From the hardwood, let's go out to the diamond. Nets and Marlins wrapping up their series in Miami. You know, watching these Net games ever since Edwin Diaz has been struggling a whole bunch, you had to watch these games through your hands because they were so bad. Earlier in the weekend, the Mets had a 9-6 lead against the Marlins going into the ninth when Edwin Diaz promptly blew the save and the Mets would go on to lose 10-9. This time, there was no blown save, because Harrison Bader and Tyrone Taylor each drove in two in a four-run first. Edwin Diaz was not used in the save situation this time around, and the Mets beat the Marlins 7-3 for just their second win in their last seven games. Brandon Nimmo homered, and Francisco Lindor singled twice following a 1-for-27 skid as the Mets rebounded, as I just mentioned, from blowing that four-run ninth-inning lead on Saturday and avoided the three-game sweep. The win stopped the Marlins' four-game winning streak. Lindor said after the game, quote, "You're not defined by what you do the day before. You're defined by how you get up from adversity." We wanted to win this one for sure. I think it's important to win after a loss like that. Sean Manaea allowed just two runs and five hits in five innings. Edwin Diaz, he has a 10.80 ERA in his last eight appearances. After he served up four homers over his last eight and a third innings, he gave up four homers, by the way, all of 2022. He's blown save chances in three of his last four opportunities. Reed Garrett, the pitcher who pitched two innings and got the save for the Mets in this one, said, quote, "We believe in him. We all know he's going to be back. Whenever my name is called, I'll pitch. But I know as a collective unit, we all believe in Edwin, and we know what he can do." Meanwhile, over at the great big ballpark in the Bronx, known, of course, as Yankee Stadium, Yanks and White Sox finishing up their set. Aaron Judge, John Birdie each homered into the right field short porch, and they extended their winning streak to 7 by beating the White Sox, 7-2 to complete the three-game sweep. Judge's homer was the 13th of the year and the 7th in his last 13 games. 8 of his last 9 hits have been also for extra bases. Carlos Rodon won his third straight start for the Yanks, who lead the American League in wins with 33. They won 13-15, and on their longest winning streak since mid-September of 2022. They also swept their fourth series, matching the total that they had all of last year. The White Sox, which oppositely have the worst record in the American League, have been swept 7 times. They wasted a 2-0 lead and have dropped to a major league worse, 4-19 on the road. White Sox manager Pedro Grifol said, quote, "We just got out homered. You got to put the ball in the seats in this ballpark." The 5-9 batters for the Yanks, Rizzo, Torres, Trevino, and Birdie, were 7-15 with 5 RBIs.
the latest on what can possibly happen overseas now with the loss of the Iranian president, killed after that helicopter carrying him crashed into a remote region of the country. And Cardi B revealed in a recent interview that she doesn't plan to endorse President Biden or Donald Trump in the election this year, because she feels that people, quote, were betrayed. I gotta talk about this because national news. It's next for us around here, of course, when the update Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update with Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. Brandon Julian. You know, if I read something wrong in the script of stories that I have for the program, my producers during the break will come up to me and be like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'll usually say something like, "I don't know, just pissed. I don't want to go home." Why is that? "I think my house is haunted." "Why do you say that?" "My wife is there." And it's nothing mean on my wife, nothing rude about it either. I love her dearly, but every once in a while she'll just give me the look with her eyes that just says, "Get out." This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Her words weren't written under peaceful shade, but under fear for her life.
Everyone has inside a piece of good news.
For 2 agonizing years, she worried about being caught by the Nazis.
The good news is that you don't know how great you can be.
Though her story ended early, her words live on.
I don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains.
With her positive outlook, Anne Frank continues to fill us with hope. Hope. Pass it on from PassItOn.com.
Maybe he was born with his witty humor.
Some people bring joy wherever they go. Some, whenever they go.
Or as a Frontier newspaper reporter.
There's nothing to be learned from the second kick of a mule.
Maybe he got his insights from being a riverboat captain.
Never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference.
Wherever he went, Mark Twain found humor all around. Humor. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com.
Brandon Julian. You know, you hear comedians and other people say
out there that marriage is an institution that later cost some people tens of millions of dollars to get themselves out of. Or you'll hear people say that marriage is an institution. Well, so is Alcatraz. And I'm thinking, you can't compare marriage to prison. And those same people would be like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, in prison, the warden doesn't max out your credit cards. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together on what is truly a top 10 day out there, but do not let these conditions out here today fool you. We are going to increase the humidity factor over the next several days, and that's going to bring in some thunderstorms for later on this week. Most likely for your Thursday, so, you know, carry stuff around the umbrella that day. Let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to begin overseas with the tragic loss of the Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi. He was killed after the helicopter that carried the leader that's been known as the Butcher of Tehran crashed in a remote region of the country yesterday, according to the state media. Raisi, who's 63, his foreign minister and other passengers were found dead after the rescuers discovered the helicopter crash earlier today in Iranian time. The state news agency Mehr reported, quote, all passengers of the helicopter carrying the Iranian president and foreign minister were martyred. A senior Iranian official told Reuters that Raisi was killed in the wreck after state media reported this morning that there was, quote, no sign of life at the crash site. The senior Iranian official told Reuters, quote, President Raisi, the foreign minister, and all the passengers in the helicopter were killed in the crash. His helicopter, Raisi's, was found around dawn today in a mountainous area about 12 hours after it went down in hazardous weather. Raisi was returning home with his foreign minister, Hussein Amir Budalian, and local state officials through the heavy clouds and dense fog after traveling to neighboring country Azerbaijan, to open a new dam with the president there, Ilham Aliyev. State media initially reported that the aircraft had experienced a, quote, hard landing, and that initial rescue efforts were stymied due to the severe wind and fog, and also the region's rugged and unforgiving terrain. Raisi was flying a U.S.-made Bell 212 helicopter at the time of his crash, according to state media. In other news, we're going to talk about the weather, which we only address on this program, as you know, when the weather is bad. And it definitely still is down here in the South. In Houston, the area residents that have been affected by those deadly storms last week received some good news, as officials said that power was restored yesterday to a majority of the hundreds of thousands who'd been left in the dark, without air conditioning during also the hot and humid weather there. The widespread destruction of the storms from Thursday left at least seven dead, brought much of Houston to a standstill. Thunderstorms and hurricane-force winds tore through the city, reducing businesses and other structures to piles of debris, uprooting trees and shattering glass from the downtown skyscrapers. A tornado also touched down near the northwest Houston suburb of Cypress. By Sunday night, about 88% of customers in the Houston area had their power restored, according to Paul Locke, a spokesperson for CenterPoint Energy. Locke said that they expect everyone to be back online by the end of business on Wednesday. More than 240,000 homes and businesses in the state of Texas, they remained without power as of last night, mostly in the Houston area.
More than 1,780 customers remain without power in Louisiana, which was also hit by strong winds and a suspected tornado. The rapper Cardi B, she revealed in a recent interview that she is not going to endorse President Biden or the presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump this year, because she feels that people, quote, were betrayed. The rapper said that while she still believes that Trump to be a threat, she's felt, quote, layers of disappointment under Biden, citing the high cost of living and a lack of action, which has caused her to reconsider voting in this year's presidential election at all. She told Rolling Stone magazine, quote, I feel like people got betrayed. Cardi B was elected, interviewed Biden ahead of the 2020 election, and ended up endorsing him for president after previously endorsing the senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders. She said, quote, it's just like, damn, y'all not caring about nobody. Then it really gets me upset that there is solutions to it. There is a solution. I know there's a solution because you're spending billions of dollars on any fucking thing. I'm only including the quotes because she said those words, not me. Cardi B also criticized the high inflation last January in a viral video that was posted to social media. She asked at the time, quote, what the fuck is going on? Lettuce was like $2 a couple of months ago, and now it's like fucking $7. Of course I'm going to say something. The rapper also told Rolling Stone that she didn't support funding Ukraine or Israel in their efforts against Israel and Hamas. And finally, you might have seen it, the weird combinations that are out there. Van Leeuwen Ice Cream usually draws customers with gourmet takes on classics like vanilla, and pistachio. But occasionally, the artisanal ice cream maker, headquartered here in New York, slips in what it calls a shock flavor, like Hidden Valley Ranch or pizza. Surprising flavor combinations, think gravy-flavored Jones soda or Sour Patch Kids Oreos, of course, that we talked about recently, are showing up more frequently in grocery stores and restaurant chains. Hershey recently introduced pink lemonade-flavored Kit Kats, while IHOP and Lay's brought out Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Potato Chips, designed to taste like strawberry-topped pancakes with a hint of bacon. And while it's tempting to pass off these limited-time flavors as social media stunts, experts say that there is more to this story. Food companies are responding to the changing and expanding tastes of consumers, while also trying to keep brands relevant and distinct to win space on crowded store shelves. Kristen Braun, the senior brand manager for Oreo Innovation at the Chicago-based food and beverage company Mondelez International, says, quote, we're in a really exciting time of flavor development where consumers are not just one thing. You're not just a sour lover or a sweet lover. You want a little bit of this and a little of that. Companies are finding the freedom to explore a little bit more and get more creative. Of course, oddball pairings aren't entirely new in the food and the beverage industry. Hubba Bubba, they released a bubblegum-flavored soda in the late 80s, for example. But manufacturers and their suppliers have gotten more sophisticated and efficient, making it easier to experiment and put out limited editions more frequently, according to Mark Lang, a food marketing expert and an associate professor of marketing at the University of Tampa. Speaking of limited edition, you might want to get those McDonald's free refills if they're at the store near you, because those are going away. Those are going away soon, as apparently McDonald's is trying to rediscover themselves, facing an identity crisis over the extreme prices they have. Going to talk about this because your honorable mention is next. When the Up to with Brandon Julian continues.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is The Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, we have just enough time left today, of course, folks, for your honorable mention. Now, many people like me, I'm sure, they've gone to Mickey D's at some point in their lives. Most likely for us, if you're an adult, you go for the chicken nuggets, which is a personal childhood craft of mine. You know, Jim Gaffigan once said, I recognize with McDonald's a lot, or he, you know, I think that's the word. He stands with McDonald's because I go there a lot. Like, those McDonald's fries, people, they're absolutely incredible. For what, about like 7 minutes? And then they turn into something that's not likely biodegradable? Have you ever tried to put McDonald's fries in the microwave? They become packing peanuts. Doesn't stop you from eating, though. You're like, these fries aren't even good anymore. Yeah, how are yours? Yeah, yours aren't good either. The fries can't get cold. The shake, they can't get warm. You ever leave a McDonald's shake out for an hour? Reality sets in. You're like, oh, this is even made from milk. It's some sort of chocolate mucus. But I mean, up until recently, those deals, man, they get us in there. I think some of those deals are just cruel. Two Big Macs or $2 at this point, you're like, well, I don't want to lose money on this. I'll get 30 of them. No, but for this edition of McDonald's, we're talking about empty cups and some empty hearts, too. McDonald's customers, they are bidding a bitter farewell to the free drink refills. It's just one of the latest casualties from the brand that's already facing an identity crisis over some extreme prices. In Pittsburgh, a recent customer told Marketplace.org that their local location began charging patrons for refills, something once given for free throughout the franchises of McDonald's. A shocked man recently wrote on X, quote, "What is the world coming to?"
Last year, of course, it was reported that Mickey D's was gradually phasing out the self-serve soda fountains, only for dine-in customers by the year 2032. However, a company rep later told Business Insider at the time that charge for refills would be left at the discretion of the individual restaurant owner or operators. But the direction of fast food beyond just McDonald's seems to be telling customers to suck it up and just order another drink. Darren Tristano, the CEO of the consulting firm Food Service Results, said, quote, "McDonald's tends to be a leader in the industry, and very often when they make big changes, other restaurants follow suit. McDonald's is very smart about their costs. The customers at Panera Bread and even those at Wegmans, the grocery store, have also observed a vanishing of the self-serve soda machines, according to Marketplace. Professor Alex Susskind, a food and beverage management professor at Cornell University, told the outlet that food courts across the western part of New York and Pennsylvania are following the same trend and putting machines back behind the counters. While it may have felt like the greatest thing since sliced buns when they served or installed these things back in 2004, Susskind believes they're more of a hassle than they're worth these days. He said that, quote, "the amount of cleaning and upkeep that's required for these guest-facing dispensers is pretty significant. You know, the ice has to be replaced. You have to clean up the mess. You have to pick up the straw fragments." Excuse me. The famous ex-McDonald's corporate chef Mike Harkas over on TikTok also recently addressed the controversy, saying that drink theft was likely part of the brand's rationale, among other factors. He added also that it's more desirable also in the chain's eyes for folks to use the drive-through for quicker turnover times. Harkett said in a clip that's been viewed at least 180,000 times, quote, "most of McDonald's business is through the drive-through, and it does cost McDonald's more money to deal with people who come into the restaurant than it does the drive-through. They'd much rather have you go through the drive-through. You get some food, you get your drink, you get out of there versus you hanging around and having to deal with people inside the restaurant. Speaking of, the drive-in volume has gone down as well, according to David Hanks of the consulting firm Technomic. But he thinks that some staunch, quite literal penny-pinching may play a factor in the logic to take away the refills." Hank is told Marketplace, quote, "it essentially pennies per drink for the cost of the syrup. It's a good business, and that's why a lot of times you see companies doing any size for just a dollar." Welcome, as they say, to the world of business. By the way, on a completely unrelated note, I saw that in the Target by my job, you now have to be 18 and over to go in there. Or if you're 18 and under, you have to be accompanied with an adult. You're seeing that more and more these days. Did you know that the Atlantic Mall in Brooklyn has the same policy? The more you know. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this. As we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Monday, May the 20th, 2024. That is the update on this Monday. Folks, I'm Brandon Chioli, and we appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of my favorite episode series, we're going to go into year number two in what also is another pivotal moment from the Donald Trump presidency. Decision night in America, 2018. The midterm elections that year. Who would get control of Congress? And it's also right before I headed off to Washington, D.C., the source itself, for a four-day trip. That next episode comes out in June, and we're going to talk about it more when we actually get to June, the release date. So until you take your portable fans with you for the building humidity that's going to be coming in the next few days, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Mutel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly,
please be well. And honey, like, honey, I'm cooking dinner tonight. Do I need to take out the fish sticks at the freezer before I nuke them? Gee, I don't know a lot about fish sticks or cooking. The road to Memorial Day weekend continues. Let's talk about that and a lot more, too, of course, folks, when I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.